Welcome to the Unstoppable Leadership Spotlight, influential leaders and their game-changing insights. I'm Jacqueline Stominger, CEO and founder of Leap to Your Success. That's leaptoyoursuccess.com. We help entrepreneurs, leaders, and CEOs grow their business, become unstoppable high achievers in their careers and life, gaining that 1% edge. We believe every professional has the power within them to leap to their greatest success that not only will impact their life, but the lives of the people they touch. So stick around to the end of the show and we will share with you how you can be our next guest. So stick around for those 15 to 20 minutes and let's be unstoppable. Well, hello, everybody, and welcome to another amazing episode of the Unstoppable Leadership Spotlight podcast. I am your host, Jacqueline Strominger. And on this podcast, we hear from amazing leaders and their game-changing insights. And as you know, if we can influence and change and have great leaders, we can change the world. And today, I have an amazing guest. I cannot wait for you to meet him. And I'm just going to say, Scott, is it Lappin? I should have said this.
It's Lappin, yes.
Okay, great. So I said it right. Yay for me. pat myself on the back there. Okay, so I want you guys to understand what Scott is doing. First of all, as you know, in business, people do business with people they know, like, and trust. And trust is such a huge key component to the workplace. And so if I can have you leave with anything from this podcast, understanding how important trust is. So just to give you background on where Scott comes from, he is a movement coach. He is a veteran professional ballroom dancer. He created the Moving Edge workshop. His passion is conscious movement and helping people reconnect to their inherent wisdom present in their bodies. And movement is revealing, and understanding how we move and how you move will understand how you present yourself in the world. And so, Scott, I want to welcome you to the podcast. As we were talking before, we as human beings are meant to connect and touch, and so much of that has gone away in our world.
This is true. Yes, as you said, I'm you know, we're born moving, right? With the need to connect. Yeah. And we're social creatures. And the corporate world has been, over the last number of years, just tightening their grip on how you can actually interact, what's appropriate touch, and the whiplash of, like, oh my God, you touched me wrong, I'm suing you for $1 million, you know, that type of thing. It's kind of gone overboard. And the message I bring is simple and clear through the workshops. There, it's all about finding posture. I work with posture. I work with breath. I work with awareness of your own body, grounding, and we just kind of wake up our bodies, and then we start to connect with each other. We start to simply find a conscious connection, and this conscious connection I talk about is just like hands together creating this conscious connection like this. And the workshop is guided. So, you know, it's not, people are in any level of group can come together, age-wise, gender-wise, mixed between levels in the corporations, if you want to do that. But this connection brings us to an awareness of, like, we have an awareness of connecting, not grabbing, but just being connected. And then from there, I take people through guided exercises and movements and balances and trust with each other. So people have your back, maybe, or people are helping create this synergy. And it's fun. What's really cool is that movement and connection breaks through mental blocks, because it bypasses overthinking, and it brings teams into a present moment where real connection happens. I mean, there's actual science behind this, which the body and this body connection that receives information faster than the brain can process. It's amazing. The body is amazing, and it's trusting our bodies embodied. You know, embodied is a great thing.
Right.
Embodied leadership, let's put it. I
Right.
mean, when you're networking, you walk into a room and you're embodied in yourself, and you walk into a room and you present an aura, you present an
Right.
energy. And
Do you
this is
think?
what I bring awareness of. There's takeaway, you know, takeaway information. When groups work with me for, you know, just like my first workshop is maybe about 3 hours long to get a bunch of stuff together, you know, lots of fun, lots of laughing, lots of awareness. But if they work with me even more, they begin to, you know, start to really practice, because the, you know, practice makes permanent, by the way, not perfect.
So
So.
it's so important, I think I think what you're doing is so really important when it comes to even to leadership and helping people get that deeper connection. So as a leader, it's almost like one of those great things that you could do to bring your team together, not just by going out and going to F1 racing or whatever, because this is actually making people truly connect. And a simple It's amazing what a simple touch could do. I mean, I'm a huge hugger. Now I go to, I'm a co-founder of a networking company. And so when people come in to our networking group, or as we call them, hubs, for the first time, I have to shake their hand. If I know them, I'm like, hey, welcome. I'm giving you
Right.
a hug. And
Yep.
now, granted, you will probably not do that every time you walk in to see a colleague at your office, but it's so true that we have forgotten to give like the high fives, or even or giving somebody that hug that they need, like if they're having a bad day. It's we've read into so many things.
It's so natural. I mean, well, it's natural. Some people, of course, it's not normal for them,
Right.
but it's natural to, if someone is having a bad day, that we somehow we empathize and we want to, you know, give them a sense of betterment. You know, it's, and there's the, so there's the touch on the shoulder, there's the, you know, there's the pat on the hand, there's whatever, you know. And I mean, I just laugh, because if I went into the corporate world right now, probably, I mean, they probably, like, I'd be called, I'd have pink slips all over the place, because I would be inappropriate. It would, that would just be it. And so that, by the way, that's been one of my challenges here, is like, is speaking to that. I speaking, getting myself into the corporate world with the correct languaging that
Vernacular.
doesn't scare them. Because I mean, I was working with Glamazon. You know Glamazon?
I
You know
don't
what
know
that is?
Glamazon.
Glamazon is the LGBTQ faction of Amazon.
Okay.
Yeah, it's been around for not quite a number of years. And I was get ready to, like, you know, really talking to the people who wanted me, but they went to their higher ups and they were sharing what it was, and they had to back off, because the higher ups were like afraid of the touch. They're,
Right.
that's it, the touch. Excuse me, I'm gonna close my blind here. The sun
Okay.
just changed angle here. Can you see this
Yeah,
lovely Florida
it's
sun?
right. You did get a
Hi.
little bit brighter there.
Wait a minute. Oh. Hang on just a second here. I think this might do it. That did it.
There you go.
There it is.
So it's interesting. So when you're thinking about, so building trust.
Yeah.
You as a dancer, right? I mean, that's huge, right? So you, in order to know, I mean, it is all about, the placement of your hand on somebody's back or whatever, like where you're going to do. And so how does that, when you've had a workshop and people are, they've gone through it, what do you see as the difference, like from before and after?
I mean, that's a great question. And there's a couple things that come to my mind. Well, first I'll share this situation, and then I'll share another situation. First situation is, and this is cool. My workshops immediately, the first thing I tell people is, okay, this is a situation where you have a choice. If you're uncomfortable with this exercise, you have the opportunity to not involve yourself or to not participate. However, you will be an active observer of the exercise. So that's happened before. And let's say I've got four people and I've got them together, I've got them hooking or connecting, and we're doing these balancing exercises. We're doing these body weight exercises where people, they can't do this on their own. It's a synergy. So they're creating this, but maybe Joe over here is a little tense and he's tightening and he's holding. And I said, Joe, can you feel that? And people around the group are going like, yeah, it feels a little, everything feels a little odd. So I come and I said, Joe, how about this? How about you relax you a little bit here? How about you just relax, put your feet in the floor, take a nice breath, and just drop your shoulders. And he relaxes into the group. Now, there's people, a couple people watching. And immediately I asked the group, how does that feel now? Oh, it feels so different. The people next to him and the people across from him can feel the difference in that connection. And I say, people watching, what did you see? And they go, we saw the whole thing happen. So it's the results of this, the results of exercises like this are immediate. They're visceral. They're mind body. They're vi visceral, and when you have that experience with a group of people, when you're in trust situations, and as little or as large as they are, and you have those visceral experiences, they don't disappear. You have them,
Right.
and so you know it's up to you to then you know grow that now. That's a little bit before and after. Another one is just that I've got some great testimonials lately from the International Coaching Federation. I was working with a group of about 12 executive coaches from around the world, and they half of them had never met each other, and so I was the first activity on their 3-day event down here in Fort Lauderdale, and I would. 9 o'clock in the morning, boom, to 12, right before they went to lunch. We had so much fun with each other. And I, at the end of the workshop, the president of the co coaching of that division of the Coaching Federation, who had okayed this for me to do this, he had was not really, wasn't 100% sold, but my champion, my dear friend, she said, you've got to have this guy. So he said, you know, Scott, I wasn't really sure about this at first, but I have to tell you, this was great. This was absolutely amazing. I love what you, I'll give you a testimonial whenever, I'll refer you to whatever. I said, well, will you write me a testimonial? He wrote me the best testimonial that I have ever received. I
That's
mean,
awesome.
awesome. He basically said, Scott's workshop kickstarted our resort, our retreat.
A retreat, yeah.
It was a retreat at a resort. He said, our meetings were immediately more effective than I could have imagined, than I could have wished for. He said, they just were so great. We got better guidance, better focus, and more done because people were just so much more comfortable with each other. So
Right. Because you know how
that's
that
the
ends up
tip.
happening, right? Like you go to a conference and like the first day people are like a little skittish. And then by the end, you're like, there's that deeper connection. So it's really nice to have that in the
It's
beginning,
nice. It's
right? I mean,
nice.
it's really great for teams. And I really see, I've been to When I was in the corporate world, I did a whole day. Actually, it was a couple of days of learning to be, basically helping people be a brain, helping people brainstorm, right?
Oh, yeah.
And you know, it was really great about it was a fun exercise, and we got to know each other better in that time frame,
Yeah.
right? But
Yeah.
that's one thing I am loving about what you're doing, because you know, in the corporate world, we need to know our people and our teams better so that we can thrive better together.
Yeah. Yeah. And did I forgot to mention that this president that would wrote me that he participated in the
Oh,
workshop.
well, good. That was really good.
Yeah, and
That
he was really uptight. And he relaxed. And so everybody got a they and I applauded him. I said, "You know, man, good on you for coming in here and being vulnerable like this and letting people see you kind of struggle through some of these exercises." I
Yeah.
mean, yeah. Anyway, it was very cool.
So, I mean, as I was saying, you know, ballroom dancing, obviously you have to, you're touching people and whatnot. So when you thought about creating this workshop, like where, what was the genesis behind it? Like, you know, how did you think, oh, I want to go from here to bring this into the corporate world or to help other people?
Wow, the genesis. It's kind of a story that goes over years.
I need a glass of wine. Just
Actually a couple cocktails. I mean, actually two. Yeah, you listen, you have the same you and me. We need to, I need to come out to Reno.
kidding.
Okay, here's the genesis and the transition, okay? The simple answer is that it was for me to condense all this information that I start had been gathering. And at the, and to that point, it was only, 20, 25 years in the business, right about there. That was kind of why I kind of sat down and started putting pen to paper. But my whole start in this journey was when I was 8 years old, and I was an avid reader, and I was in the library of a new school. We had just moved to Chicago, and I was in the library of a new school. I joined the library club, and I had this book in my hand that I'd never had a book like this before. It was a Pretty Robin's Egg Blue. I can see it now, and it had a picture of a classical pas de deux ballet couple on it with the word ballet. I'd never seen a picture like that, and I'd never seen that word. But in my holding that in my hands, every cell in my body vibrated, and I knew I was going to do that. So I went to my
Gets me
parents,
the
and
chills.
some I know I still get chills myself. I went to my parents, and I said, "Hey, somehow." Years after that, I said, "Mom, did I bring a book home to show you?" She said, "No, but you let us know." But anyway, being the cool parents that they were, we lived in Hyde Park, University of Chicago. There's a ballet school literally 3 blocks away, a real deal ballet school, not the jazz tap, hip hop. And so I studied ballet for 2 years, only little boy in class. And then my parents joined the YMCA, and I started doing gymnastics, and we started swimming, and then we started doing music and music lessons. And so I had this, and then I this, had this physical movement and coordination and musical training.
Right.
I graduated high school, started, I was studying voice, went to college. Graduated with a vocal degree and
Oh,
understood music. I really understood music, but during that time, guess when I was going to school at the end of the 70s. I was out disco
wow.
dancing all the time. So I was out dancing, and so I was just natural dancer. And
That's
grad huh?
I'm
Yeah.
like the hustle.
Yeah, do the hustle, do the hustle.
Mm-hmm.
So I got out of college, and here I am. It's like 1980, and What am I going to do with my life? And so I do what all people do that graduate from liberal arts colleges. I got a job as a waiter. So I, so one of my, and I was going out dancing every night. And one of my gal pals who I hung out with all the time, she said, "Scott, I was looking in the newspaper today and I saw an article. The Arthur Murray Ballroom Dance Studio is starting a training class for new dance teachers. I think you would be a great dance instructor." And I'm like, who the hell is Arthur Murray and what the hell is ballroom dance? I mean, I knew who Fred and Ginger were. But I didn't
Right.
know what ballroom dance was. So I went, I called up, made an appointment, and for like 2 days later, I went out to the club that night and I was telling a friend, "Hey, this is what I'm gonna do. I'm gonna go to this ball, Arthur Murray thing." He goes, "Oh, I know the manager of that studio. He's here tonight at the club. You want me to introduce you?" So I got introduced, and that was April 11th, 44 years ago. I've never turned around. I've never looked back. I've made my whole life has been teaching, and it was maybe about 2 years into this world, this industry of dance, that I connected to my purpose in life, which was being a teacher. And
I
I
just
so
love
I
that.
so yeah, so that it was like, well, this aligns, collect, I mean, I'm supposed to teach movement. I've got music. I've got the skills that I'm, that's it. So 20 years, later, I'm down here. And I start to go like, well, what are all these essences of connection that I've been learning? Because with ballroom dance, it's a poetry in motion, but
Right.
it's more like a duet. It's a duet of movement. And people understand, say they'll understand a duet as a piece of music. Or a piece of or singers are singing a duet, and they understand how difficult that could be because people will say, "Oh, I'm not a good singer," and blah blah blah, or they're a good singer, and they understand it. It's easier for them to understand the skills that are needed and the difficulty that are needed for singers to actually sound well together.
Yeah.
But because everybody moves, and everybody connects. People think that just because they're moving and I'm doing this part here, the guy's going, "Well, I led that. Why didn't you follow that?" Well, because maybe your lead wasn't so cool. Maybe your lead wasn't so clear. So but people get like this. I took 10 lessons. I know how to cha-cha. A guy thing.
Right.
So it's very, very interesting that because of our physical, because we do move and we do think we know something, that we think it's dancing is an easy thing to do. It's not. It's not
No,
as
and I think what's really key is like it's the same thing, when and I love that you're bringing this to companies because I think it's really important for leaders to understand that the way people mesh together, you can, and the way a team works together, you can have some really great cohesive relationships, or you could not have them. And when they're not, when they don't, when the team doesn't really gel together, it doesn't work well together. It's the same thing, and you probably see it with dancing. And I'm probably, and I don't watch Dancing with the Stars ever. I just not my, I love dancing, but I'd rather watch. Okay, so I am a child who used to watch Solid Gold
Oh, yeah.
like all the time, like probably one of my days I wanted to be a Solid Gold dancer, but the point though is that when you see two people dancing, and as you just said, as like whether it's a duet or it's but they're telling a story with movement with dancing, and you look at them and you can tell two people who are truly connected well because their movement is beautiful. It's seamless. It's they're floating. And then you have the pairs or the teams or whatever, and there's something not gelling.
Right.
And it's not as fluid. And it's a ooh, that dance seems more manipulated versus a flow.
Yeah, more manufactured.
Yes.
Yeah, and that's it. This is where the differentiation is. Those people aren't. It's not easy. The people you are watching make it look easy. They make it look easy because of the years of study that they've done and the years of development, because those two people have to bring what they bring to the table to create the synergy. And it's the synergy that we're looking to create in teams. Very much so. Very much so. The I'm kind of going back and forth into the ballroom world. Everybody does. Everybody would love to have the benefits of being a really good dancer. I mean, a really good dancer, a skilled dancer. I mean, and I'm, no one is born. We're born with some ability, maybe some more than others, but no one is born with skill. No one is born with skill, and so. I mean, in everything. I mean, skill and networking. Maybe I have the ability to like connect with people, but I still need skills and like what the heck to say and how to follow up and other things. So, the idea is that that w in this workshop, it's about bringing giving people some practical skills in. In maybe the first workshop, I love to work like, getting working with people every couple months or something like that. Haven't really had any opportunity to do that yet, but I can see that rolling this out over periods of time can really lock in to help people massage these skills and practice them and follow up with how is this working for you.
And so listeners, I want you to really take note to this. As a leader, the key thing, and I want the takeaway is building trust among your team and also helping to create a fluid pattern that people can work well together with. And sometimes in creating that fluidity, you may have to change your partner, meaning maybe the person, there's somebody on your team or that you're working with that either is not for your team or maybe doesn't fit. Maybe it's a cultural or values issue, but to create that fluidity in the team where people are working well together is it is creating that trust and helping them connect at a deeper level so that they know each other. Scott, I could talk to you about this forever and a day because I love what you are doing, but I want our listeners to know how can they reach out and connect with you and learn more about Moving Edge workshops and bringing you to their company.
Absolutely. Here, right on the screen here is the movingedgeworkshop.com. Wait, over here.
That
Wait.
way, or
There
the
it is. I'm sorry. I've got my the movingedgeworkshop.com. That's my email. Or no, excuse me. That's the
it's your website.
website. But I'm at movingedgeworkshop at Gmail.
Okay, movingedgeworkshop@gmail is your email address, and you're on LinkedIn.
I am on LinkedIn,
And so
Scott.
you can
Yes.
find Scott on LinkedIn. Please, listeners, go to connect with Scott, go check out his workshops. And I truly believe that if you can bring him in and create a deeper connection with the people on your team, you're going to see your company soar because you're going to have deeper relationships. So I truly appreciate it. If you have gotten some great tips out of this, which I'm sure you have, please do me a favor, listeners, hit subscribe and please share the episode with your friends and colleagues. And of course, please give us a review on your favorite podcast platform. Thank you, Scott, for being an amazing guest. And thank you,
Appreciate
listeners,
it.
for listening.
You're wonderful.
Thank
Thank
you.
you.
I'm Jacqueline Strominger, and I want to thank you so much for listening to the Unstoppable Leadership Spotlight, Influential Leaders and Their Game-Changing Insights podcast. If you are a successful CEO, entrepreneur, or leader in your industry, and you have insights you would like to share, we want you to be a guest on this program. So please visit go.leaptoyoursuccess.com/podcast. And if you have gotten something out of this interview and you'd like to share the episode on social media, just go ahead and take a screenshot with your phone and text it to a friend or post it on socials. If you know somebody who would be a great guest, please tag them on social media and let them know about the show and include the hashtag Unstoppable Leadership Spotlight. I love seeing your posts and your guest suggestions. So we regularly are putting out new episodes and content. So please make sure you don't miss any episodes and go ahead and hit subscribe. Your thumbs up, ratings, and reviews go a long way to help promote the show, and they mean so much to me and my team. You want to know more about the podcast or about Leap to Your Success? Just go to the website leaptoyoursuccess.com or follow me, Jacqueline Strominger, on LinkedIn, Facebook, and Instagram. Just plug in my name, Jacqueline, that's J-A-C-L-Y-N, dot Strominger, S-T-R-O-M-I-N-G-E-R, and follow me on all the socials. So thank you so much for listening, and remember, be unstoppable.